Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey folks, Zach Osman here, IU Insider, Indianapolis Star. This is Mind Your Banners for Thursday, September 28th, 2023. As promised, we found somebody a lot more knowledgeable than me, which wasn't very hard because I'm not very knowledgeable about most things, to talk about Maryland ahead of this week's game, Indiana at Maryland, 3:30 p.m. Saturday in College Park. And with us is Varun Shankar from the Baltimore Banner. I got the banner right too. Corman's going to kill me if I didn't.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be here.
Our mutual friend Chris Corman, who I've known for more years than I'm comfortable admitting, connected us. You've covered Maryland for a couple of years now. You said this is your first year with the Banner, but you covered them, you know, previous to that. The first thing I kind of wanted to ask about was, you know, last season, leading into this season, Indiana fans have been through sort of that process of maybe feeling like their program was riding the crest of a wave, only for the wave to kind of crash onto the shore. That hasn't happened with Maryland. They're 4-0. They've looked good. I know they've had a couple of false starts kind of out of the gate in a couple games, but 4-0 is 4-0. Talia Tagovailoa is one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten, if not the best. Just kind of what have you made of maybe to some extent the way Maryland has handled the season it had last year, the high of winning the bowl game, 8 wins, all that. And then with maybe more expectation this season, just kind of kept riding it rather than ever being looking under pressure or being weighed down by any of that.
They've embraced the expectations in a lot of ways. I mean, Mike Plotzley, from the second that he got to the second that he started talking at Media Day, he said, listen, we're at the point where this is year 5 for me. And we built this culture that I think gives us the ability to win Big Ten championships. And obviously, when you play in a division that includes Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State, those are audacious goals. But to his credit, Maryland has backed it up so far by taking care of what they need to. It hasn't been a perfect season, but 4-0 is 4-0, and they're continuing a trend that's been the case for almost all of Loxie's tenure, which is beating up on non-conference opponents. And that gives you just, like, you know, it's obviously just like a smoother start to the season. It's a kind of upward trajectory for the program. And I mean, they look really good. The talent in the program, like, has not depreciated a lot from year to year, even from that first bowl game win for Virginia Tech to last year over NC State. And then this year, I mean, they are 2 wins away from bowl eligibility. And let's be honest. It starts with the quarterback, right? When you have Talia Tagovailoa coming back for another year, it's just this comfort that you have inside the program. It's comfort that you have with receivers, with play callers, that we've got number 3 back there.
Talking about the quarterback, because obviously he's a big piece of just the picture when you talk about Maryland. There's an extent to which his resume speaks for itself, the success he's had. I think he's already Maryland's all-time leading passer. Of course, he's no stranger to the Big Ten. He's no stranger to Indiana. I think he's 2-0 against Indiana. Is there anything different either about him or the way maybe Maryland has kind of, you know, sort of used him, deployed him this year? Or is it maybe one of those things where he's so stable, he's so sort of stayed and proven that it's almost – not that you're not going to evolve as an offense, not that new guys aren't going to sort of, you know, come into bigger roles and stuff, but that with him, it's more, you know, we know who he is. We know what he can do. Let's not mess with a good thing. Let's just keep sort of expanding his options and just keep relying on his dependability, I guess.
Biggest thing that stands out to me about Tagovailoa this year, and I want to wait to make like a declarative statement about whether this is just, you know, like a small sample size fluke or about the teams that they faced or whether it's actually an improvement in his game, is he's gotten a lot better at taking pressure and not allowing them to turn into sacks. I think, previous years he would get pressured and 20% of the time it would turn into a sack. This year, that number last time I checked was under 10%. He's made massive strides in that area. I mean, every game there's at least one play, and most often multiple, where he's making a free rusher miss. And for an offensive line that's still working through a lot, there's new players coming in. There's new centers that are rotating. You've got guys that are just, in their first or second game back from injury. It's been really helpful for that unit.
To your point, 32 sacks last season. ESPN has him taking. He's only taken two through the first four games this season. And I guess to, and maybe not just on sacks, but that being, as you talk about just handling pressure, stepping away from it, moving a pocket, breaking contain, whatever he does to do it, that being kind of an example of it. How much is he maybe, when you talk about an offense that has had some moving parts, some new faces, some question marks elsewhere, Tagovailoa just been, I guess, again, I'm not trying to make, I'm not trying to sort of damn him with faint praise here when I say he's dependable, because I know he's more than that. I know he's, I mean, he's been more than that for the last two and a half years. But just how much maybe does it feel like he is just kind of showing this side to his game, which is, you can rely on me, I'll fix problems, I will bring others with me in a way that maybe makes life easier for a young offensive lineman or for a receiver, a transfer receiver we're trying to fit into a new role, whatever that is. Just basically, I guess, as much as anything else, and this is always a little bit sort of self-apparent when you're talking about a quarterback, but how much is he really just sort of setting kind of all the pace for that offense?
This is a Maryland team that's got a lot of moving parts on offense. You'd think that, okay, Tagovailoa is back, there's stability, you're fine. Not really, to be honest. I mean, he's back, Roman Hemby is back, Delmar Glaze is back, and a couple of the weapons are back. But it's a new offensive play caller, and even though they're keeping the same scheme, there have been slight differences in, just the flavor of the offense that Josh Gattis is employing. There's a bunch of new receivers, and there's a totally reshaped offensive line. That's a lot of change, and Maryland's offense hasn't been perfect through the first four games, but they've looked really solid through like every performance. They're efficient, they're explosive, they're doing all the things that you want a top-tier offense to do against subpar competition. That's a credit to Tagovailoa, and that's a credit to the stability that you get when you have a quarterback who knows the system this well and is, obviously able to execute it at a high level.
You talk about through these first four games. I mean, on the one hand, Maryland has scored 31 or more points in all four of them, so there's not a ton of question about that offense. They've only allowed, I'm just doing very quick math here, 39 points, I think it is, in four games. If I've, or maybe 49 points, I guess. You can tell how good I am at math. On the other hand, Charlotte, they're down two scores earlier. Virginia, they're down two scores early. And then they turn both those games sort of wildly around. They outscore Charlotte, I think, 38-6 after the kind of the early, just the sluggish start. And then obviously they just sort of obliterate Virginia, even though Virginia kind of scores a couple early touchdowns. I recognize we can't like sort of gaze into the future. And I also recognize there will be days where maybe Maryland just doesn't win the game because the other team is better. But at the end of the season, do you think that that's going to be a consistent theme that Maryland struggles to start slowly? Or do you think that was just maybe something reserved to a couple of early season games? You talk about moving parts, new guys, new roles, just kind of smoothing over some of those rough edges. And maybe that's not something, I guess, an Indiana team that has undeniably struggled, kind of with some slow starts in the last couple of 3 weeks. That's maybe not something that is part of Maryland's DNA this season, I guess.
I think if Maryland has slow starts moving forward, it's going to be because they're overmatched in competition and they're going to lose a game rather than they are clearly better than this other team and they're just starting slow. I don't think this is going to be an issue that persists just because you look at that Charlotte game, right? It's you give up a decent amount of running plays to Charlotte on the first down or rushing yards on the first down on the first drive, and then you have a coverage bust and they have a wide open guy running for a 40-plus yard touchdown. Tagovailoa comes out. There's a mishap on the kickoff. The guy bobbles it, so you have bad field position. He comes out, his first pass, he throws it to a defender that he's, a defensive end dropping into coverage, pick six. And then The UVA one, I think that's can kind of be explained by the fact that Maryland was playing on Saturday and then Friday night. It's a short week. Just a long lead up. They had 13 straight days without a day off, is what Coach Loxley was saying. And that I think that really played into most of it, to be honest with you. I don't think that the slow starts are something specific to Maryland that needs to be worried about. I think it's more just they stumbled against these couple of teams, and if they go down against anyone else in the further, it's probably just going to be because they're not as good as this team.
Talking about the offense as a whole, then, and you've picked around it in different ways. Of course, it starts with Tagovailoa, but you mentioned Josh Gattis is offensive play caller now. And again, whatever the pattern of these games, you can't argue with 38 points, 38 points, 42 points, 31 points, 42 against an ACC opponent, albeit Virginia has struggled obviously early in the season. 31 on the road against Michigan State. Michigan State can have its own problems. 31 points on the road in the Big Ten is still 31 points on the road in the Big Ten. Just, I mean, do you feel like this offense at least, I know all teams want to evolve as seasons go along, but do you feel like this offense at least has kind of found a certain sort of, I guess, rhythm and a certain measure of, we know that these sort of base things work that we can always count on. We can go here when we need a first down, or we need to sustain a drive a little bit. We can go here. Do you think it's kind of got at least some of that sort of baseline rhythm that Gattis can build on as we get deeper into conference play?
I think they have some level of that. I think they're still searching for kind of an idea on who their guys are. For example, Tyrese Chambers comes over from FIU as a transfer receiver. He's expected to be a big part of the offense from day one. He, has a really slow start, comes back due to injury. He comes back, catches a touchdown against Michigan State. It's starting to look like, okay, maybe there's more of a role for him than initially expected. There's so many pieces and so many moving parts right now with this offense that I don't have a great feel for. Is this the final product? Like, you look at Michigan State, they start really fast, right? And the offense looks like it's humming. And then for like a quarter and a half, they look like they're just walking through mud. I mean, it is rough. Tagovailoa is missing throws. The running game isn't getting pushed. He's not finding guys downfield. It's a mess, right? And you close the game with a screen pass that gets taken 31 yards for a touchdown. And that shows you, even on a day where Maryland's offense is inconsistent, it's got the talent to make things look good at the end of the day.
Let's flip to the other side of the ball. Again, I mean, at least if we're just talking about the big picture, and I know that the competition is going to get stiffer as Maryland gets into conference play, but 49 points allowed in four games is, I mean, that there's an extent to which no matter who you're playing, that speaks for itself. Maryland's already got 10 sacks on the season. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're one of the best teams in the conference in turnover margin. They've already, in fact, yes, I'm looking at it now. They're tied for the most turnovers forced so far this season with Penn State with 11. They've got seven picks and four fumbles. Just kind of how would you characterize, I guess, for lack of a better term, the identity of this defense? Again, allowing for the fact that, maybe it's Indiana, maybe it's not, but at some point there are going to be some bigger tests than what Maryland's already seen. You've talked about kind of taking care of business against some teams that are clearly worse than Indiana. But, what windows, I guess, have you gotten into just what this defense kind of is identity-wise? Can those sort of habit plays keep up when you talk about sacks, tackles for loss, turnovers forced? And do you think maybe that side of the ball has a little bit firmer grasp on this is what we're good at, this is how we can win games?
They're a pass defense, first and foremost. And when I say that, I mean they're a pass defense focused on the coverage aspect. They're not getting a great pass rush this year, so far, right? And there was some optimism for a couple of the defensive tackles, Tommy Akinbesote and Tyze Johnson coming into the year, Jordan Phillips, a transfer from Tennessee, and those guys just haven't gotten the interior push that you want. Neil Avery, a freshman four-star on the edge, is someone that Loxley said is going to be an impact player. He just doesn't know when day one for him is going to be. And he's been out with injury for every game so far this year. If he comes back, maybe that changes things. But right now, they're just not a good team at getting pressure. Secondary, though, Jaquan Shepherd, the transfer from Cincinnati, has looked good. Tarheeb Still has moved from inside to outside and not missing a beat. The safeties, Bo Braden and Dante Trader Jr., they look great. And the nickel, they kind of rotate a couple guys in, but Glendon Miller, who's usually there, is a kind of converted safety slash corner who's done a great job. Linebacker, I think Jayshon Barob's one of the best players in the Big Ten, and he's great in coverage. I think when they put him as a pass rusher, that's when you start to see some of the juice that they need, but they don't do that regularly. So that's where the strength is, because you can run against Maryland. I think Michigan State was able to do that a little bit. I think, you know, if you look at EPA per play, they're near the bottom half of the Big Ten in EPA per rush allowed, and that's even despite playing the teams that, you know, they have. That's a place where Maryland can be exploited. I've been trying to find out exactly why they've been bad against the rush. I wanted to see if they were dedicating more resources toward coverage. But, you know, whether it's, you know, 6 men in the box, whether it's over that in the box, they are having trouble stopping the run. And in the Big Ten, that's an issue.
Indiana is a team that will probably tend to pass the ball a little bit more. I mean, they talk about wanting to establish through the run, and we've seen some option concepts and things, but I think it's fair to say at least through 4 games, Indiana is probably better passing the ball than it is running the ball when it kind of gets moving. And you say maybe Indiana or Maryland has not been great in the pass rush, but they still do have, what, 10 sacks through 4 games. They've forced 7 picks. I'm looking at it here. Opponents are only completing a little over 58% of their passes against Maryland. If you look at yards per attempt, Maryland's one of the better teams in the conference, or at least kind of just certainly kind of middle of the pack, but with a good number at 6.4 yards per attempt, not a sort of extreme number in either direction. What do they do? You talk about being a team that is really good in pass coverage. Are they playing man? Are they playing zone? What works? I mean, again, 7 interceptions in 4 games kind of speaks for itself, no matter who your competition is. What works for that defense in terms of maybe putting opponents in positions where they make those kinds of mistakes and Maryland can seize on?
I think it's a great zone coverage team. I mean, they do a really good job with disguises. They do a really good job, even if they're kind of sitting back at coverage, not necessarily coming up and pressing, they're doing a really good job of passing stuff off. The communication for a defense that's got a couple of moving parts has been excellent. You rarely see massive coverage busts. I think the one against Charlotte is honestly the biggest one that I can think of. Tarheeb Still's been, I think, he was great in the slot last year, and he's been somehow even better outside. And this is something that he's done when he was a freshman, but this is a guy who came back despite having a chance to go to the NFL to try to improve that stock a little bit, I think. And he's doing that so far.
We'll finish this because Tom Allen's got a Zoom conference about 3 minutes that I routinely don't forget about, I swear. Jokes aside, I hate when people ask me for predictions. I won't ask you for one, but maybe just kind of a double barrel question in terms of when you look at Indiana, maybe what are the 2 or 3 things that you feel like if Indiana's going to have some success on Saturday, if Indiana, obviously Maryland's a heavy favorite, if Indiana's going to threaten an upset or even spring an upset, sort of, you know, what do you think Indiana maybe can do well that might put Maryland in a little bit of trouble? And, you know, just give me, I guess, a sense of basically what you think the complexion of a Maryland win versus a Maryland loss would look like. I'm not asking for a score prediction or anything like that, but just kind of those two things kind of weaving together, just your sort of, I guess, estimation of Indiana.
Maryland win, Roman Hemby and the rest of this Maryland running game look as good as they have all year. Take some of the pressure off Tagovailoa to have to make a bunch of plays, and he's able to pick apart the defense. At the same time, on Maryland's defense, you've got this coverage is kind of blanketing everything, and adverse game script for Indiana, putting them in pass-heavy situations, and it just goes downhill from there. Maryland loss, it's going to come down to getting pressure on Tagovailoa and bringing him down. If you can start getting sacks against this team and get them to move backwards, you put him in, you know, less advantageous situations, pass-heavy situations, and you could start to flip the game script, and then that puts you in a space where you have an opportunity to run the ball against the Terps, and you might be able to have success that way.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. Corman, if you're listening, thank you too. I suppose at one time you now match him for Mind Your Banners appearances, though he's never been willing to come on and talk Maryland football. So we're going to move you up the power rankings. He's a clear number two. And thank you all for listening. This has been Mind Your Banners for September 28th, 2023. Hope that helps you get just kind of get ready, get in a certain frame of mind for the Maryland game this weekend. A big one for Indiana, as I said on the last podcast. Indiana's been to four bowls in 8 years. They've never beaten Maryland and missed a bowl in that stretch. They've never lost to Maryland and made a bowl in that stretch. For whatever reason, this has always been kind of a swing game for the Hoosiers, and I think it'll be a big one this weekend. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back Sunday night. We'll talk to you soon.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.